Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself, expressvpn.com/Charlie. What is generational theft? What if I told you that the people in charge are stealing from the next generation? This is best demonstrated by the multi-trillion dollar spending bill coming out of Congress. What Republicans are voting for it and why? We go through that. And also, the mandatory masks on children is another example of this top-down plunder. It's time for us to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. We talk about that today on The Charlie Kirk Show. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war, tpusa.com. I want to thank some of our supporters at charliekirk.com/support. You guys help make what we do happen. Carrie from Maine, thank you. Leslie from California, thank you. Melissa from Texas, thank you. Thomas from Wyoming, thank you. CharlieKirk.com/support. That's CharlieKirk.com/support. Thank you for getting behind our program. Generational theft, what does it mean? How do we stop it? Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Sinister folks, by the way. Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist BLM Incorporated organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations are subverting our nation and our republic by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote at the checkout line, which is why there's a massively important organization called Second Vote that comes in. I know them very well. I've known them for years, and I'm so honored to partner with them. And the courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how they spend your money. So check out secondvote.com today. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. Their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive, and it doesn't happen for free. So please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Do what I did. Just go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's $50 a year. I know it costs something, but they have to be able to pay for their research. And the Black family, who are amazing people, by the way, have underwritten this effort for quite some time. But if you use the promo code Charlie, you get 50% off. That's $25 a year, everybody, okay? That's literally $2 a month. And that's 50% off, so $25 a year. That's $2.5 a month at that. So that you can have the information you need on your next purchase. So join me, go to secondvote.com and subscribe with promo code Charlie. Maybe it's like, hey, I don't know if the car I'm buying, are they donating to Planned Parenthood? What about all these companies? Secondvote.com has every company ranked. It's a beautiful thing. Go to secondvote.com and subscribe with promo code Charlie today. What do masks on children and multi-trillion dollar spending bills that actually don't even say anything in Congress have in common. Let's begin today by reminding ourselves the mission statement of the United States government, the nation of the United States, in the preamble to the United States Constitution. It's very important. Many of us talk about this. We say it every so often. I bet that there's a good amount of people that can name off the preamble to the United States Constitution, but what does it mean? And when we talk about the phrase that starts with "we the people," in order to form a more perfect union, what does that mean? Well, as we go through the preamble, we must understand that there are seven action verbs in the preamble to the United States Constitution. And there's also goals in mind. One of the goals is to secure the blessings of liberty. What they're saying here is that when you are elected in office, when you are in control of the government, you must make sure future generations can enjoy the same sort of transcendent blessings that you yourself can enjoy. There's an intergenerational dynamic that the founding fathers were getting at here, that James Madison was getting at. In order to secure these blessings, you want to make sure that you are not the only generation that can enjoy them. Founding fathers wrote extensively in the Federalist Papers about how a selfish ruling class can very well disrupt this promise, can interrupt the blessings of liberty. Our leaders' first obligation should be leaving the country better than they found it. It should be basically being able to hand down a nation to their children and their grandchildren that at least is remotely recognizable. When I first started Turning Point USA 9 years ago, one of the issues we talked about a lot was our national debt. Now, many of you know that, obviously, I'm a supporter of President Trump's. One thing that if I had to offer one critique, it was how our national debt grew exponentially during the Trump presidency. Now, mind you, we had correlated economic growth, but the national debt accelerated beyond anything that we were able to pay for. When I first started Turning Point USA, the national debt was $12.7 trillion. It is now north of $28.5 trillion, which is a debt per citizen of $85,726, a debt per taxpayer, $227,473. And it's going up every single day. We ran a structural deficit in the last year, almost more than all of the money we collected as tax revenue. Every dollar we borrow from the federal government has to be repaid in one of three ways. You have to cut programming, which will not happen. You have to raise taxes, which they're attempting to do. Or you can debase your currency. You can inflate your way out of the debt, which is what we're living through right now. You see, $28 trillion isn't as much if every year the U.S. dollar becomes worth 10% less. All of a sudden, that $28 trillion isn't actually the same number as far as the value goes. Inflating your way out of debt is the cheap way out, and obviously it comes with massive cost. So just in the last 48 hours, the Center for Disease Control is now saying that every child needs to be masked at schools across the country. All the while, our leaders, if you couldn't call them that, the Republican leaders in the United States Senate are negotiating and have allegedly struck a deal for another $1 trillion spending bill with the Democrats. What do those two things have in common? Well, put simply, this is a pattern that our ruling class has grown accustomed to of generational theft. Robbing from your children to satisfy the present. Now, I think having short-term abilities to borrow money for war or for essential government programming in certain emergency circumstances, that could be justified. That's nowhere near where we are as a nation. Starting after the 2008 housing crisis, which was created largely because of the federal government, by the way, our leaders grew addicted, and so did our financial leaders, by the way, and our Wall Street leaders and the people in the corporate world with cheap money from the federal government, advantageous public policy programs where they could boost their profits, expand their portfolios while middle-income workers continually get crushed. Leveraging your fiscal situation as a nation to gratify the present and to rob or pillage, plunder, ransack from your children is morally disgraceful. And we're going to name the names of every single one of the Republicans here on this program, because I've felt that we haven't been controversial enough this week on our show, that actually went and negotiated with the Democrats to go pass another multi-trillion dollar boondoggle. $1 trillion is what they say, but it's going to cost more than that. To give Biden a legislative win, to expand our national debt and deficit, all while we have a massive looming debt ceiling fight, and we borrowed more money than we took in last year. I want to ask every single one of you a question. If your adjusted median income for your family is $100,000, if you borrowed $120,000 last year, would that be a fiscally responsible way to conduct your household income or your household finances? This is the way that our government has been operating. And this comes at a cost. And the cost is more than higher taxes. It's more than just inflation. The cost is also an ever-eroding trust in our political system and its long-term viability. In fact, this has national security implications. If the U.S. dollar ceases to have value, then all of a sudden our ability to be able to maintain any form of a Western hegemony in our hemisphere starts to disappear. Generational theft is occurring of parents ransacking their children's future. What are we going to do about it? Are you saving for retirement or just treading water? Are you depending solely on stocks or mutuals instead of diversifying what you really need? Did you know it's easy to move out of a 401k into precious metals like gold that's predicted to go up $2,500 an ounce soon? Inflation is here, and this could be an answer for you. So call the team at Noble Gold. Do it this month, and they'll give you a gift of a 22-karat American Eagle coin. Just mention the promo code Kirk. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. I'm an Eagle Scout, and I was taught always to leave no trace, that the moral thing to do is to leave a campground better than how you found it. Leave no trace is this idea that you are going to be thankful and you're going to have gratitude for the beauty and the wonder and the nature around you. So when you go to a campground, you're going to find it even better. You're going to find trash that was there before you came. I wish Senate Republicans and congressional representation were steeped in the value of leave no trace. Leave the nation better than you found it. In the preamble to the United States Constitution, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, capital P. You see, the founding fathers, and James Madison wrote extensively about this, talked about this intergenerational promise Instead, our current leaders are saying the blessings of liberty to ourselves, and they got rid of to our posterity. It's tempting and it's easy to want to steal from people who cannot defend themselves. It's also immoral. Our current leadership is stealing from 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds. They're taking from their future. They're taking from their spending power. They're also taking from their current livelihood in schools. And we are going to get into this new mask nonsense that has come down from the CDC, that even public broadcasting, government taxpayer-funded broadcast, PBS, is coming out and starting to ask questions about this. But first, I'm not going to go through the Democrats that voted for this infrastructure bill, because we already know what team they're on. Instead, I'm going to go through the Senate Republicans that have decided in a moment where our borders are wide open, crime is surging, big tech is on the march, that the most important thing they can do is to go negotiate with the other side. How often did Democrats negotiate with Republicans when Trump was president? You know, Trump wanted to do infrastructure week. It's one of the great jokes in like DC circles, kind of DC socialite circles, which again, thankfully I'm not part of. Oh, it's infrastructure week. And like, in fact, one New York Times blogger said, it's actually infrastructure week. Trump wanted to get infrastructure done. He wanted to do it right. Now, let me just say this. There is no infrastructure bill. I know this sounds weird. There's no text. It's just kind of a general like grocery store list, right? It's just kind of like, I'm going to the grocery store and here's a couple things. So here are the Republicans that decided to vote for the $1.2 trillion bill. Number one, Roy Blunt from Missouri. Number two, Richard Burr from North Carolina. Not a big surprise there. He wants a bridge named after himself as he drives to a lobbying firm he's probably going to work for. Number three, Shelley Moore Capito. No surprise there. Four, Bill Cassidy. That's a disappointment. Number five, Mike Crapo from Idaho. Really surprising. Number six, Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. He might thought it might be like better chance to go invade Iran or something. I don't know. Number seven, Mitch McConnell. No surprise. Number eight, Lisa Murkowski. No surprise. Number nine, Rob Portman from Ohio. No surprise. Number 10, Jim Risch, again from Idaho. Don't quite get that. 11, Mitt Romney from Utah. No surprise. 12, Tom Tillis. What is that all about? 13, Todd Young. 14, Chuck Grassley. He gets a pass for me. Okay. I like Chuck. No criticism towards Chuck. Seriously. 15, John Hoeven from North Dakota. 16, Kevin Cramer. He will be hearing from me. I'm going to ask for his explanation. And if you're listening on the flag right now, email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. 17, Susan Collins. No surprise. And we're going to go through some of the specifics of this, but what could the possible explanation be as we're running a $3 trillion deficit? Joe Biden is now taking a legislative win in your face to go vote for these non-specified objectives of infrastructure. $7.5 billion to help develop plug-in electric vehicles. Do you think that's going to help oil and natural gas in North Dakota? So here's the problem that I have, respectfully, with the two good senators from North Dakota. They're good. Voting for this bill. The Biden administration just shut down the Keystone XL pipeline and restricting oil and natural gas development. And you go and sue for peace with the Biden administration for electric car vehicles. Something's wrong with that equation. So this is what they voted for. And this is, it's not even a legislative text. It's kind of just like a suggestion list. It literally doesn't exist. $73 billion for clean energy transmission. Oh, this is why Nancy Pelosi bought Tesla stock. This is why Nancy Pelosi's husband went all in on green energy stocks. You see, someone asked me, said, Charlie, where should I invest my money? I said, it's very simple. Go look at Nancy Pelosi's insider trading disclosures and just buy the same stock she buys. She will make sure that public policy makes herself richer. If she dumps stock, you dump stock. If she buys stock, you buy stock. She knows exactly where this is going. $21 billion. This is unbelievable. This is what Senate Republicans voted for. $21 billion in environmental remediation to address racial disparities in environmental pollution. So if you're a white person in West Virginia that might be suffering from some form of an issue because of a coal mine, nope, we're only going to help people of color. $21 billion. $21 billion. $50 billion in Western water infrastructure for, quote, people of color are more likely to live in areas most vulnerable to flooding for climate change related events. $2.5 billion to develop zero emission buses. And another $2.5 billion for low emission buses. $2.5 billion for ferries. Okay. $7.5 billion to help develop plug-ins for electric vehicles. So North Dakota, both their senators voted for this boondoggle. And the two are, make sure I get the names right, John Hoeven and Kevin Cramer. So to plug in for electric vehicles, North Dakota has one of the greatest deposits for oil and natural gas in the entire country. It's called the Bakken Basin. The Permian Basin's in Texas and the Marcellus is in Pennsylvania and New York. How could investing more money in electric vehicles be representing the voters of North Dakota? Maybe I'm missing something. $66 billion. That's right. You heard that. $66 billion to invest to address Amtrak's maintenance backlog. $66 billion. So we're not spending $66 billion to go fix the fatherlessness crisis. We're not spending $66 billion to fix the southern border crisis. Just to give you an idea, $7.5 billion would fully fund the southern border wall. And yet you have Senate Republicans that are negotiating infrastructure for electric vehicle plug-ins while not funding the border wall. If these Republicans actually wanted to represent their voters, and I know some of these guys, I'm going to give some tough love on this, of Blunt, Burke, Moore Capito, Cassidy, Crapo, Graham, McConnell, Murkowski, Portman, Risch, Romney, Tillis, Young, Grassley, Hoeven, Cramer, Collins, and Mike Rounds from South Dakota signaled that he's going to do it. Why wouldn't they say, we're not even negotiating until we get $20 billion for the wall? Thanks for shopping. Do they all want like bizarre, weird bridges named after them or something? And who, again, the obvious question that I hear in cable television, it always bothers me. How are we going to pay for it? They're never going to answer that question, okay? The question is, should they be doing it in the first place, even if they had the money to do it? But I think that question actually deserves being asked. How are they? They're not going to pay for this. They're going to go to some seven-year-old, tap him on the head and say, you get to pay for my vanity project bridge going from, you know, going across Fargo into Minnesota. So you can call it the whatever Senate Republican, you know, multi-trillion dollar bridge, whatever. Or you can call this, Susan Collins gets a ferry at least, okay? Susan Collins gets a ferry outside of Mount Desert Island. So $0 going for the wall. I don't see anything for the southern border. So you have an infrastructure package on top of a $3.5 trillion package that's being passed. And $0 going for the wall. Why are Republicans always betraying their voters? There's a reason for this. It's hard to do what Rand Paul is doing. It's hard to do what Ron Johnson is doing. By the way, God bless Ron Johnson. I love that guy. I'm going to do whatever I possibly can to get Ron Johnson reelected. Seriously. He's on my list of I'm going all in. I love that guy. In the last 6 months, he has demonstrated courage and clarity, leadership, integrity. He's been phenomenal on every single issue I can think of. But you're going to get hit piece after hit piece. You're going to get reporters on you. You are going to get investigated. It's so difficult to hold the line as a Republican, a conservative, because the media incentive structure is so terrible. If you go along with the other side, and if you try to sound reasonable, they'll keep on platforming you. You'll be able to go on television. The lobbyists will donate to you. You'll be able to get a bridge named after you. You'll get to, you'll be able to hire by some public relations firm to go lobby some for some foreign country the last 10 years of your life. Controlled opposition as Republicans is the least resistance path. It's easier. But it's not courageous. It's not brave. We have, according to Tucker Carlson, we are on pace to have 1.8 million illegals cross into our border this year. You see, I got to be so specific. And if I get a comma wrong, fact check, take them off of social media, worst person ever, destruction to humanity, all these sorts of things. Yeah, and we're the ones that are trying to restrict freedom of speech, right? Okay, yahoo.com. 1.8 million people coming into our country. 1.8 million. That's according to yahoo.com, okay? So we're all on the same page here. And you have Republicans that are voting for a bill for $66 billion to address Amtrak's maintenance backlog. $73 billion for clean energy transmissions. $21 billion in environmental remediation. How does that represent the voters exactly of North Dakota? When both senators, how about Idaho? Idaho's a great state. Both the senators from Idaho addressed that. Here's the cruel reality that I'm about to tell you. That the senators from these states don't actually have to live under the price of illegal immigration. Because they're not Democrats. The sense that they can only, they will win re-election because they say they're pro-gun and pro-life. They'll win re-election in North Dakota. That's it. Just check the box, even if you go negotiate with the other side. You know how this would work? If Democrats wanted the wall, you know how this would work? Which, of course, Democrats wouldn't want the wall. The only reason the Democrats would want the wall if a bunch of Bulgarians were coming across the southern border, okay? If it was a bunch of Cubans and Bulgarians and Lithuanians and Serbs and Macedonians and Croatians, they would want a 50-foot wall and they would say, how dare you bring all these foreigners into America? Just to be perfectly honest, right? Because those people, having lived under communism, tend to be very conservative. I said Cubans. By the way, we should put a bill in that says that we should redomicile 2 million Eastern Europeans and Cubans. Democrats would lose their mind. No, we want Hondurans and Nicaraguans, many of whom are very conservative people. But the general moving average is that they vote Democrat and they tend to be used as political pawns for Democrats. That's just the statistical average. But if the Democrats wanted a wall, which of course would only happen under the circumstances, they would say, we're not even having lunch with you. We're not even opening our mouth. We're not going to say hello in the hall to you. Unless the first thing that you get, the first thing that we talk about is our wish list item. And this is exactly what happened in the stimulus bill last year. Remember the stimulus bill that I don't think President Trump should have ever signed? Where public broadcasting and national public radio received $100 million. The Kennedy Center received tens of millions of dollars. Every Republican voted for that one too. And so as we try to build the conservative movement that can win in the future, why don't we get leaders in Congress that aren't negotiating for the downfall and the decline of their own states and voters? And also say, hold on a second, infrastructure, okay? Infrastructure usually means things you can touch, right? That's probably a fair thing. Well, what could be a better infrastructure item than southern border security? I was just in New Mexico. I could tell you right now, they are feeling the price of illegal immigration. Those Democrat senators, they don't care. They'd rather have some bridge or underground tunnel in Albuquerque named after them. And this goes to this broader question of why are our leaders betraying And I use that word betraying a couple times. They are turning their back on. They are disobeying. They are gravitating against, away from the promise that is put in the preamble to the Constitution. Secure the blessings of liberties to ourselves and our posterity. Every Senate Republican should put on the top of their mission statement of what they do, what they do. We want to put our children first. We want to leave no trace and leave a better country for ourselves and our children. That's what our founders did. That is what Lincoln did. That is what Eisenhower did. And for whatever reason, this generation of leaders, they care more about their own personal vanity than the well-being of their children. There's no doubt in my mind that Americans' trust in the media is at an all-time low. I mean, when you turn on so-called respected news channels, all you get is propaganda, shameless virtue signaling, and blatant disregard for the truth. It's an insult to the intelligence of the American people, which is why my good friends at The Daily Wire, great people, are providing an alternative. From The Daily Wire newsroom comes Morning Wire, a morning news podcast that gives you the facts you need to know first. Brought to you by The Daily Wire editor-in-chief John Bickley and co-host Georgia Howe, Morning Wire will wake you up with the latest developments in politics, sports, culture, and education, all with a heavy emphasis on the truth. Episodes drop every weekday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. So go subscribe now to hear the trailer. It's super important because it's challenging the New York Times daily. This is rooted in truth. And if you like what you hear, leave a 5-star review if you want to help The Daily Wire provide a source Americans can wake up and trust. Each episode will be short with only enough room to fit the facts, so you can be sure your breakfast isn't going to be served with a side of someone else's agenda. Seriously, go subscribe to The Daily Wire, Morning Wire. It's called The Morning Wire. Go subscribe right now. People are not happy with these senators that are voting for these bills. That's for sure. That's the consensus that we're getting. freedom@charliekirk.com. And again, the fiscal health of our country is failing. You know, we talk a lot about public health recently. Public health has become the new focus of our government. What about fiscal health? What about our ability to pay our debts and to have a stable currency? We know you cannot print wealth. That is an obvious economic truth. And this is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. This is a math and a reality issue. This is not left versus right, but it's basically top versus down. It's the elite is basically the 1%, the Great Reset team, and the bottom is the muscular class, the middle class, which is most of our listeners right now. So you have this almost intergenerational dynamic happening. The most powerful people that are reaching down and trying to punish and penalize people that actually don't have a voice in this. Someone sent us an email. They said, Charlie, we need baseline budgeting again in the United States Congress. I totally agree. Baseline budgeting is a solution to be able to fix a lot of this. You know that our government does not baseline budget every single year. That our government does not start from zero. Instead, they budget based on what started last year. It's called baseline budgeting. Got to get rid of it. We got to have zero-based budgeting is what I meant to say. Zero-based budgeting. Now, what does the forced masks and the national debt have in common? Informed consent. Informed consent should be needed from kids on debt, on the national debt, and masks and the vaccine. And instead, we have a ruling class that will be the first generation of leaders to make a series of decisions that will, instead of leave no trace, leave a complete forest fire in the midst. And I want to just get to one email that someone said. They said, Charlie, what could possibly be the motivation here? Why are our leaders doing this? The answer is that they do not want the criticism or the tough fight. The tough fight would be holding the line, like Senator Ron Johnson and Senator Lee and Senator Cruz. The tough fight would be to not negotiate over a multi-trillion-dollar boondoggle when the debt is suffocating our nation. And we as conservatives have to start caring about the debt again. we as conservatives have to start talking about the same sort of energy that got behind the Tea Party movement, which is that the fiscal health of our nation is failing, is that we have a fiscal pandemic on our hands as well. And the only treatment is to stop negotiating with another multi-trillion dollar bill. To give you an idea how big this bill is bigger than the Obama stimulus bill back in 2009 that animated conservatives towards action. The nation is on fragile footing. And only when conservatives and constitutionalists rise up and say we are not going to allow the intergenerational theft to continue will it stop. Challenge the lawmakers that voted for this and demand that we get back to fiscal restraint, because we have a debt ceiling fight looming right now that is incredibly important. Thanks so much for listening. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.